Vineyard. Would you stand as you're able? My name is Matt. This is my friend Mia. We're going to be leading in some songs together with the rest of the worship team. You can follow along on today's service. All the songs, announcements, and sermon notes at votrweekly.org. You can pull out your phone and follow along at any point through the service. And if you're new with us at the Vineyard, we'd love to start a conversation with you. Just start the process of getting to know you. And so you can use the Next Steps tab on votrweekly.org to do that. Say hello and introduce yourself. But we want to invite you to take a few moments to lift your voice and to sing, to make these songs your own prayers. Let's sing together. Let our praise be your welcome, God.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign that we are here for you. We are here for you.
Your anthem, your renown. living life that pleases your heart, responding with praises to all that you are, singing, oh, how lovely, and oh, how lovely is the King in all his glory, is the Christ who is holy, who was and is, and how amazing is his love, so unfailing is his grace.
More time.
near, Lord. Sing, I've come to worship.
Well, I've come to worship. And I've come to fall down, to seek only your face, laying down my crown.
Yes, God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. Till I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. So all my life you have been faithful.
Yes, Lord.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing at the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, darkest days. You are close like no one.
Thank you.
thank you that you are faithful, that you are faithful to 1,000 generations. God, that you see us today, that you hear our cry, that you are near to us, God. And God, as you are near, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to change us, to challenge us, to be enthroned in our hearts and in our lives as our God and King. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. We open our ears, we open our hearts to you right now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and that we sing. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm Natalie, one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. It's great to be with all of y'all. Middle schoolers, you can be dismissed. You can head on back across the hall if you guys want to head on over with Chaz. He'll be over there. All right. Today is a big day here at the Vineyard. This Sunday, we get to participate in the One Day to Feed the World giving campaign for Convoy of Hope. You heard from my husband, Jeff, last week, and our goal this year is pretty big. 125 givers with the goal to raise $85,000, which is more than last year. We're still going to press into this goal. And if it's your first time with us today, every fall we partner with Convoy of Hope, and it's simple. We take a giant offering, and we give 100% of it away to the poor. That's pretty awesome. I'm excited about that. That's right. Convoy is an incredible organization that mobilizes the local church to serve those in need. They respond to natural disasters all over the world and have incredible programs to build communities through their feeding program, through their agriculture programs, and through their women's empowerment program, and so many more avenues. The vastness of Convoy and their impact goes so far to spread hope to millions of people all around the world. Last week, Jeff preached about generosity, and like he said, we are so encouraged by our church. We are a very generous church, and we want to continue that together. We have the opportunity to give above and beyond this weekend to Convoy, and we can all participate because every dollar makes a difference. My first experience and my first exposure to Convoy was about 11 years ago during one of their community events they held in Kansas City, Missouri. I was so impressed. Not only did it bring together a wide range of local churches to participate, but thousands of people were served that day and impacted. It was just awesome. I was a greeter at the event and had the opportunity to welcome each person individually. I loved this job because I got to see thousands of people seeking hope. The line to enter went so far back, I can just imagine it. It went so far back that I couldn't even see the end. And Convoy asked us at the beginning that to treat everyone as if they were a guest of honor. I love that. This is the phrase that they carry with them, and that's the phrase that they use. So this means that everyone got a hot meal. Everyone got bags of groceries to take with them, socks and shoes for their kids, for their grandkids. There were toiletries handed out. People got haircuts. There was dental work being done. There was a foot washing station and an opportunity to receive prayer. It was really unreal. This was my first experience with Convoy. And I was moved by how the community came together to share the hope and love of Jesus. And I didn't know that that was just going to be the beginning of my experience with Convoy. I'm so thankful that we are a church here in Fort Collins that partners with them, that's been partnering with them, and has been part of that journey for quite a long time now. It's great to be a part of that. I mean, just last Christmas, we hosted an event right here in our building to bless families from our community. A word to describe that event would be abundance. It was amazing. There was catered Chipotle. Christmas movies were up on the screen. A craft station. There was hot chocolate and desserts. Family photos. Families could get their photos taken. There were toys and shoes. Because, as Convoy says, everyone is a guest of honor. Just a few weeks back, our parking lot was full of cars driving through to receive groceries and shoes, and tons of people received diapers from y'all who donated. It was super exciting to see that happen right here, right outside the building. We've served so many families, and maybe you're here today because of that event. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for coming. We are so glad you're here and that you're with us. My hope is that you feel welcome and that you feel like our church is a place that you can belong. I love that we get to do things like that in our building. It's so great. I've seen the impact locally, but I also had the opportunity to see impact internationally as well. Last year, I led a team to El Salvador, and we met children with similar stories as Baraka, the little boy that we met last week. One of my favorite things was meeting women who've grown their own businesses through the Women's Empowerment Program. I love that Convoy is changing the world through empowering women. I could go on and on about Convoy, but we have someone with us today that is much more connected to the heartbeat of Convoy. Kirk Noonan, who attends church here at the Vineyard, works for Convoy of Hope. And he is going to come up and share more with us this morning about the impact internationally and locally. As Kirk comes up, check out this video we have for you from Convoy's work in India.
And at that very moment, the Lord said, "What you have done in serving this child this food is that you have given him dignity."
India, as you probably know, is one of the poorest countries in the world. And in India, Calcutta is easily the poorest city. The most deprived are the children of families who work in the garbage dump.
Mummy bahar mein ghar mein jaake kaam karti hai aur ye papa jo plastic ka samaan rehta hai sab banate hai.
With that kind of an economy, every pair of hands means more income, which is why our feeding program in our schools is so important.
Mujhe ye school mein paisa nahi dena padta hai, office ye wo school mein tha pas.
We are thankful that we can partner with Convoy of Hope and be a part of not only providing a future to our children, but also providing them their daily foods.
Unko thank you ke liye garib bachcho ke liye ye school bahut acha hai. Ke liye garib agar dusre school mein bahut high fi hota hai to wahan pe garib bachche nahi pad sakte, par ye school bahut acha hai ki hum jaise logo ko yahan pe padhne ke liye mile.
All that they see within their horizon is, this is my life. I was born to pick up dirt, to clean garbage. What this is doing is dragging children, and along with the children, their parents, out of the cycle of poverty.
Unko teacher banna hai. Padhai ke bina to kuch hai nahi. Padhai aisa ek cheez hai jisko hum apne saath rakh kar kuch bhi kar sakte hain. हमको आगे बढ़ना है पढ़ कर.
Good morning. So I just want to do something to start off this morning. It's a little bit different than what you normally do. Remain in with your mask on, social distancing in place. But feel free to look around the room if you see someone that you might know, maybe you don't know them. Give them a knuckle air bump right now. I'm going for the person that's on their couch. Boom. Good. I feel better. Everybody good? I'm Kirk Noonan. I'm with Convoy of Hope. And I run a thing called the Convoy Nation. And it's based right here in Fort Collins. Convoy is based in Springfield, Missouri. We have our warehouse there, our corporate offices. I was sent out here 3 years ago to start Convoy Nation, which is a program where we work with pro athletes, pro sports teams, innovators, heads of companies and entertainers. And our job is basically to put them on a trailhead to help us fight hunger, poverty, and suffering. That video that you just saw went to Calcutta last year, and that little girl with the pigtails, her name is Sue Jen, and she'd mentioned that her mother and father were recyclers off the trash dumps, and they make pennies each day doing that. And Sue Jen is nearing the end of her studies, and hopefully she'll go to college. And it looks like she'll be able to do that. And that's because of friends like you who have been providing the resources so that we can provide food. The food is the reason why her parents let her go to school. If Sue Jen goes on to college and becomes a teacher, and that's her plan, and she's one of their top students, she will have broken, and she becomes a teacher, she'll have broken hundreds of years of poverty in their family. That one little girl right there. It's amazing to think about. And that's because of friends like you. Convoy cannot do the work that it does without you. I want to take you to 2015, spring. I'm in Nepal, and I'm riding in a convoy up into the Himalayas. Kathmandu's been decimated. 9,000 people have died. NGOs like Convoy of Hope swarm into the capital city. And we get there and we realize that there's enough people doing enough great things to help the people in Kathmandu. So we decide to do what we normally do. Where are the people that are being overlooked? And we find out that there's just scores of villages up in the Himalayas where families are being overlooked. So we take this convoy out. We have this huge flatbed, and it's full of giant burlap sacks full of rice and lentil and jugs of cooking oil, and we drive into the Himalayas. And if you know anything about Nepal, they have these unbelievably beautiful rice terraces, and they just, like, they're stacked one on top of another, going all the way up the mountainsides. We go by those. We go by villages. We finally arrive at our destination. And I hop out of the truck, and I walk to the edge of this cliff, and it's like this, and I'm looking down on a cloud deck. That's how high up we are. And the sky's blue, and off in the distance, I can see the third highest peak in the Himalayas. And behind me are all of these people from these villages who have come down to get the emergency supplies that we were bringing. And I just stood there, and I just asked myself, and I was asking God, I was saying, why do I get to see this? This is such an honor. Thanks for letting me be a part of this. That night, I went back to Kathmandu, did some emails, had some dinner. I called my wife, Jana, who's sitting over here, and I told her what I just told you about the moment on the edge of the cliff. And I said, why do I get to see what I get to see? And she said in a very direct and matter-of-fact way, she said, because you're available. And I was like, available? And she's like, yeah, that's it. You're available. And that got me thinking about what I would call the counterintuitive life. Jeff talked last week about countercultural living, being generous when it doesn't feel like you can be generous. To counterintuitive, the definition is contrary to intuition or common sense. I believe we're called to be counterintuitive. There's historical precedents for this. God, when he sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross for us, that's a very counterintuitive act. The day you accepted Christ as your savior, you bucked the system, the worldly system, and you said, I am going to do something counterintuitive. I am going to serve the Lord. I believe when you make those kinds of decisions and you decide to live a counterintuitive life, you start living a life of eternal consequence and eternal significance. So here's the big idea that Jan and I came up with when we were just first got married, and we were like, hey, what are we going to do with our careers? What are we going to do with our lives? And we came up with this idea that we would throw everything and we'd put everything at risk so that we could ease suffering and we could help make heaven more crowded. So what is everything? For us, everything was living near our families in Northern California. And we said, hey, I think we need to move to the East Coast. So we moved to the East Coast. And then shortly after that, we moved to the Midwest. And I told Jana, I said, hey, I know our families all live within an hour of each other. We wanted to raise our kids near their grandparents and their cousins and their aunts and uncles. But if we go back to throw everything at easing suffering on earth and helping make heaven more crowded, Convoy's based in Springfield, Missouri. That's where we have to live. And so that's what we did. And I would tell her all the time, hey, we're only going to be here for a couple years. 18 and a half years later, we broke out of Springfield and we moved west here to Colorado, which has been awesome. So what does living the counterintuitive life look like practically? At Convoy, we spend our time fighting hunger, poverty, and suffering so others will experience God's love. Last year, I came here and spoke and met Jeff and Natalie Faust and just started hearing like their heart for this city, their heart for this church. And automatically, I knew that they weren't just interested in doing church the way church has been done at so many places. They were focused on not only ministering within the walls of this church, but they had this huge vision for the local community. And then that extended to the international community. And this church has been helping international NGOs like Convoy of Hope for years. It's in your guys' DNA. They're also the, if you look back just 3 weeks ago, Natalie mentioned it, this church, we had volunteers from this church out in the parking lot serving families who are reeling from COVID. And one of the funny things that happened 3 weeks ago is we had a little flyer and on the radio, we said, hey, we'll be here while supplies last. And that's a great thing to offer people, is kind of opens up the watch where they can come at any time. Well, there were volunteers, and I can see some of them here in this audience right now. They were out there with us at 8 in the morning packing groceries. And at 6:45, 6:50 p.m., we wrapped up the event, which Convoy events are normally like 2 or 3 hours. So I made a little bit of a mistake on that. So we're going to probably pull the supplies last off the next thing that we do. Last year, Jeff Faust and some other leaders from the church came to me and they said, hey, we want to go deeper with Convoy. And I was like, Jeff, you guys have done so much for Convoy already. You had like a record-breaking One Day to Feed the World campaign. We're just so thankful that you guys are a part of what we're doing. He's like, no. He's like, is there any need to open up another country that Convoy could go do children's feeding and women's empowerment? I said, I don't know. I'll go find out. So I called the international team and talked to them, and they said, hey, we have a few countries that we're trying to target here in the next couple years. If we had the funding for them, we would be able to start something in 2020. And so I said, great, like what are they? And so they told me a few. I talked to Jeff, talked to the leadership, and we settled on Zimbabwe. And the church went above and beyond, counterintuitive living as a church. And they gave us seed money to start our children's feeding program in Zimbabwe. About 3 weeks later, COVID hit. And we shut down all of our international travel. And so our main focus was just making sure all our pipelines remain the same and we were able to feed the kids. We don't want any kids to be in our feeding programs and not get food. And so we made all that happen. We had to push pause on opening up Zimbabwe. But our local partners reached out and they said, hey, we can carry the water for you on the ground. Can you guys resource us? And so we resourced several local partners in Zimbabwe, and they were able to respond to the COVID response, and they helped over 6,000 people with food and emergency supplies. You guys did that. That's amazing. I know, like, sometimes when you're sitting in church and you're like, hey, I just gave a little, or hey, I wasn't able to give, or hey, I'm just part of that church. I'm not making a difference in this world. I'm here to tell you that that's a complete lie. No matter what you do, you're making a difference in people's lives when you are living a counterintuitive life. So, if all goes well, which, as we know, this year has been crazy and things haven't gone well, in January, we plan to open up permanent, long-lasting, scalable programs in Zimbabwe for our children's feeding. We have a school identified. They have 900 kids in this primary school. Many of them do not have enough food to eat. So we're going to get the children's feeding program going. We're going to start in spring with an agribusiness and with a garden program so the kids can take home stuff to their homes to supplement the food at home. Once again, that's because of this church. It's amazing. Your partnership is saving lives around the world. We couldn't have served 150 million people since 1994, let alone start a work in Zimbabwe without you. And we are so thankful. So I want to tell you a story about a little boy that I met in Africa. I took my daughter, who's sitting here this morning, and she had a gap year between her high school and college years. And we said, hey, we'll take you on a field trip to this country. And we go on the field trip, and we get to this country, and we travel way out into a village on the base of this massive mountain. And we have a feeding program there. There's hundreds of kids being fed every day. They're going to school. They're getting a nutritious meal. Things are going great for them in terms of that. And so my daughter and I, we hop around from classroom to classroom, watching the kids as they're learning, hearing some of their stories. They had recess, so we went out and we played with them. They had lunch. We had the privilege of getting to stand there and serve those kids lunch. And then at the end, we had a video camera set up, and we just wanted to collect some of their stories to document them. So kids came through, all compelling stories. And the very last kid that came through was this little boy. He came walking in, he sat down, bright eyes, and he's just serious. Doesn't really talk a lot. I'm trying to ask him questions. I used to be a magazine journalist, so I'm like, I'm pretty good at asking people questions, getting answers. He wasn't breaking. And he kind of let me know that he didn't know his father. He had several siblings. His mother was doing everything she could to provide for the family, but it wasn't enough. There's days he went without meals. And then I said, well, what brought you here to this school? And he said, oh, my mom talked my way into this school a few months ago. And he's like, it's changed me. And I go, well, how's it changing? He's like, oh, the meal we get. It's unbelievable. He's like, I came in here, I was weak. I couldn't concentrate in school. I started getting these meals. The fog's lifted, I'm doing great in school. At recess, I'm as strong as a lion. And I was like, oh man. I go, that's awesome. I said, hey, I go, we have families around the world that support Convoy of Hope, and the only reason we can do the work that we can do is because of those families. I go, if you had a minute just to tell them one thing, what would you tell them? And he looked at, like, he looks right in the camera. This is like the first time. And he says, please tell them that I pray for them every day. And then let them know how thankful I am. I'm so thankful that every week on one meal, I skip it because I fast, because I want the Lord to bless them. And I was like, oh, whoa. That's heavy. And just so you know, we don't advocate for kids in our feeding program to fast. The lion is an anomaly. But he's fasting. And he said, he goes, and I go, well, what, like, when you're fasting, you're praying, what do you, like, what exactly are you praying for? He's like, I just want God to bless them so they can continue to bless Convoy so you can continue to bring food to us. Today is a one day to feed the world offering. It's super counterintuitive. It's asking for you to give one day of your wage above and beyond the tithe that you're already giving. If you look at from the world's eyes, the giving tithes to a church, that's counterintuitive. And then we're asking you to go even further and do above and beyond that. It's not about equal, it's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. If you're able to give, that's awesome. We appreciate it. You're going to continue to have this ripple effect throughout the world, this church in Fort Collins, Colorado, this people who are coming together on Sundays to support this young pastoral couple. But if you can't give, it's okay. You can do something. You can advocate for Convoy. A lady just came by at the end of the last service, and we gave her this little prayer card, and she's like, I'm going to take this to work and pass it out to my friends. Great, that's advocating. You can network. If you have business connections, if you have friends that you hang out with that you want to tell about Convoy of Hope, that is unbelievably valuable. You can volunteer with Convoy. It's great. The thing that, when you look at the counterintuitive life, is that, you know, today you can take part in one day to feed the world. That's counterintuitive. You can partner with by advocating, networking, and volunteering. But maybe there's just stuff going on in your world. Not the world, your world. Maybe you can call a relative or a friend where things aren't right and apologize and say, hey, let's move forward in our relationship. Let's get this back together. Maybe you can buy a stranger's coffee or meal at a local restaurant. Maybe you can walk across the street to meet a neighbor you've never met. And maybe, as Jana told me when I was on that hillside in Nepal, maybe you can just be available to serve somebody. In the foyer today, and if you can get out without getting this, we're going to chase you into the parking lot. We're going to give you a CD. Last year, we got a bunch of churches come together to produce a CD. It's a worship CD. It's free. Please do not feel obligated. We are not asking you for a gift. We want to give this to you. The team that I run is called the Convoy Nation, so we have this nifty little sticker. You can put it on the back of your car, on your phone, on your forehead, wherever you want. And we've got this great little prayer card of Baraka from last week. We want to give those to you as a free gift, and we've almost blockaded the door, so you have to take it on the way out. Do not feel like we're trying to twist your arm. Convoy doesn't operate that way. These are free gifts. We want to give them to you, and we hope, and you can take extras if you want to share them with friends, family, or whatever. To prove to you that you are counterintuitive and you're part of a counterintuitive church, we created a little video that we want to show you. So take a look.
Hey everyone, Jeff Faust here in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I just wanted to take a moment and celebrate the fact that Convoy of Hope is nearing serving 150 million meals to those in our local communities who have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm so thankful and humbled, actually, that our church got to be a part of providing some of those meals. Just a few weeks ago in our parking lot, we provided free groceries, socks, shoes, diapers, different baby needs for families in our local community that were in need. And I want to encourage you to stay partnering with Convoy of Hope, knowing that they have a tenacious pursuit of serving everyone and all of their needs. I know that Convoy of Hope will not let up until everyone is provided for and there's no longer a need to be met.
Kirk, thank you. Thank you for taking time. Yeah. Thank you for time that you take this morning to be with us, to be available, to remind us to be available. Thank you for the ways that you serve and impact the world and lead other people all over to do the same thing. So we're thankful for your friendship, that you're part of our church, and Jeff and I really just value you and your family. So thank you. Let's take a look at some scripture this morning. We're going to look at Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Jesus is saying that when you give to the poor, you are giving to God himself. And I love that Convoy is one of our mission partners, because when we are giving to them, we're feeding the hungry, we are clothing the naked, we're caring for the sick, and ultimately we're giving to Jesus, just like it says in this verse. His people are in need, and we have an incredible opportunity to give to the hungry and to the destitute. And I want to be a part of that. And I think we all have a part that we can play in this. By the way, this is a life verse for the Faust family. We've memorized this. Jeff and I, since college, we've had this memorized. We've trained ourselves to superimpose the image of Jesus on every person that we serve. Have you ever thought like that? When you write a check, is it just a check? Or do you see the naked being clothed? Do you see yourself handing a dehydrated Jesus a full glass of water to drink? Let's reimagine our generosity. And as we serve whoever we are serving, and as we give to whoever we give to, let's remember that we are serving and giving to Jesus himself. When I spent time in El Salvador this past fall, I held on to this verse during the week, and we witnessed the hope each child had as our van pulled into the school grounds where we served. Because of Convoy's feeding and ag programs, these children had enough food to eat so they could focus and learn throughout the day. And additionally, the dads were building farms that fed the whole community, and the moms were starting businesses to support their families. And when all these programs worked together, the community became self-sufficient and started to thrive. One of the staff members in El Salvador, Winnie, she challenged us during the time to find a person from El Salvador to pray for, one person to pray for the rest of our lives. I love this challenge. Well, I met a girl who was also named Natalie, and she loved that our names were the same. So she like clung to me whenever she wasn't in class. It was like, here we are, we're walking arm in arm together. I loved serving her because as we read in this verse, I felt like I was spending time with Jesus. We brought hope on this short trip, and the hope can still continue because this is what we give to. This is what we're doing here today. When you give a one-day offering, you give hope to our local community, just like we saw in the video, like what we've been doing, what we've been talking about. You give hope to coastal communities hit by hurricanes. You give to girls like Natalie or the children that Kirk talked about, Baraka, all around the world. Let's be a part of that story together, and let's feed, clothe, and give hope to the world around us. And as Kirk said, let's choose the counterintuitive life. Let's choose that. And as Jeff said last week, let's give with open hands. And what I want to say to you this morning, give like you're giving to Jesus himself, right in front of you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to partner with an organization like Convoy of Hope. I thank you for the ways that they steward their money in incredible ways, God. And I thank you for this message this morning. God, teach us to be available. Help us to respond. Help us to give as you are laying on our hearts this morning, God. And we thank you for all the work that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Here at the Vineyard, after our message, we usually create space to reflect on everything we've just heard. But today we're going to do things just a little different. Today we are going to collect our offering for Convoy. You can give online at votrweekly.org. There's a little, if you click on the give column, and then you can click on the little drop down and click Convoy of Hope. That will make sure that we get that money straight to Convoy. If you're writing a check, you can write it to the Vineyard Church of the Rockies. And in the memo, you can put Convoy. So that will be able to designate that we can get that to them too. And like we said, 100% of your Convoy, of anything you want to go to Convoy, it will go straight to Convoy. Above and beyond. So if you've already given, take this time to pray for our goals. 125 givers and $85,000. That's what we're going for this year. So let's take a few minutes of reflection now. I'll be back up in a few minutes to continue our service. To our time of quiet reflection, we also want to create a space to respond. So you can do this in a variety of ways this morning. The team is going to be up here to continue to lead us in worship so we can sing together this morning. In addition to our one-day offering, this is a time to give your regular tithes and offerings. And you can also receive prayer this morning. If you're on the prayer team, you can come forward right now at this time. Our team would love to pray for you and with you. And if you're joining us online, you can also click the little prayer button and a team member will respond to you as well. You can come forward with any prayer need at all. And more than anything, we want you to know that you are not alone. Maybe talking about giving hope is hard and you're actually the one that needs a little bit of hope this morning. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe God is asking you to give hope to someone around you, someone close and in connection with, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, and you just need that encouragement to do that. There are plenty of people who need hope right now. If that's you, we'd love to pray for you as well. Let me pray over the room and then we can respond together. So come, Holy Spirit. We invite your presence to move, God. Bless this time of response. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence and for your love, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together. You can come forward for prayer right now, and in a few songs, I'll be back up to close the service.
So this is a historic prayer that was written by St. Francis of Assisi, and I want us to pray it together as we sing. Make me an instrument of peace.
We find love. great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto lift it up again, great. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, you're never gonna let me borrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing this out when the night.
You are the one that brings hope to the world. God, I thank you again for Convoy of Hope. I pray blessing over that organization. I pray for an abundance, Lord, that everything that we would give, that it would be multiplied, Jesus. Help us to see you in the world around us today. Help us to see you throughout our week, Lord, and to bring you glory every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of this One Day to Feed the World giving campaign for Convoy of Hope. I just want to remind you out there, there's free CDs. They're incredible. I have one in my car. It's awesome. And then you can grab a picture of Baraka to take with you or hand out to be mindful to spread hope to those around you and to our city and to the world. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll start a new series next week. And we're looking forward to seeing you then. Have a great week.